comes into play again, because this morning's lesson that was delivered by Brother Francis was of the idea of 1 Corinthians chapter 1, a passage that I wanted to begin with tonight. He didn't know that, but in the providence of the Lord, it was possible that he pointed out how foolish people thought the preaching of the gospel was in the first century at the area of Corinth. And so with that, I want to begin tonight, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, beginning verse 18. And it culminates in verse 23 of this particular section, and let's just see what it says there in this regard. You'll see my point at hand. How that foolishness can occur because of individuals that are not willing to see that which is true. Notice what he said here, 1 Corinthians 1, beginning verse 18. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and I will bring to naught for nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? And where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, in the world by wisdom, knew not God, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. Three times foolishness is used here in reference to the way that people looked at the things of God. And the reason, he says, in the middle of this is the fact that the Greeks were people who sought for, what he said, after wisdom. And the Jews seek for a sign. And the idea that the Jews in their culture sought for those particular things meant simply that Jesus, coming into that culture, did not represent what they thought he would. We've all studied that particular matter and recognized that the Jews were simply on the wrong page. And in spite of our Lord teaching them and talking to them about the right things of God, they still persisted in following their traditions. Notice Jesus' words to this respect in Matthew 15:9. In vain do you worship me. Notice what Jesus did in that regard. Excuse me. He applied that particular lesson to himself as the Son of God, as the authoritative one coming and representing the Heavenly Father, representing the Father's will, the Father's wishes. Remember in John 12, the words I say unto you, not my own, but the Father gave me these words. He gave me these commandments to so teach. And so Jesus is there saying in Matthew 15:9, in vain you do worship me, teaching for doctrine the commandments of men. Notice, teaching for doctrine, not the commandments of God, not the truth of the Lord, but teaching the commandments of men. Upon what were those commandments of men based? The Jews seek after a sign. As a result of that, they were looking for an outward king, an outward appearance of the kingdom, and a relief from the Roman Empire being over them, and they had bondage to the tax laws in particular, and so are the other laws that the Romans had. As a result, the preaching of the cross, that they could be free inwardly, they could be free from the soul. The idea of the individual being baptized into Christ, Romans chapter 6, Paul would write, know ye not that so many of us as were buried with him by baptism into his death were raised to walk in newness of life. The idea that they thought in their mind, death is dead and you can't go on further. Paul was preaching to them that you die spiritually and you can be raised spiritually and you can have this newness of life to walk in. He goes on to describe it even further in what they would understand in the Roman time of looking for wisdom and so forth, just like the Jews would understand looking for a sign. He would say to them, for if we've been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve or be enslaved unto sin. The spiritual meaning of Jesus' ministry and life is understood by Paul to be speaking in regard to this to the Romans in Romans 6, that when we were baptized into Christ, we began to walk that new spiritual walk. What did the Gentile world think of us? Foolish. What does the Jewish world think are foolish? Based upon their own background and their own culture, what were they into? They were into not seeing the law of God as it was. They were not seeing Jesus who practiced not the traditions of man, but the commandments of God, his Heavenly Father. And as he practiced the will of his Heavenly Father, they didn't recognize him at all. They thought so terribly of his blasphemy, and they thought so terribly of his claims. And the idea was that Jesus was speaking to his own. And John will write that in John 1, and his own received him not. But to as many as did receive him, to them gave he the exio power. Not the didibus, the exio, the authorized power to become the sons of God. How do we become the sons of God? How did the Jews become the sons of God? He came into his own received him not, but to as many as did receive him. There were a few that did receive him. Isaiah the prophet had said a few would receive him. And as a result of that few that would receive him, he gave them the power to become the sons of God, the exio, the authority power to become the sons of God. That Romans 1 and 16, when Paul writes, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power, he used the word didymos. It is the dynamite power of God unto salvation. It's the thing that when we teach it, it reaches into the heart and life of the individual and it blasts it. What does it blast out of that heart? I'm following signs. I'm following wisdom of man. I'm following the traditions of man. And so I can be free from that. I can see the gospel blasted out. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of this gospel of Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Our Lord Jesus was saying, the foolishness that you claim it is based upon your background. And as a result, need to leave that background. And thank the Lord there are those who did leave that background, and we that are saved, he says, it is the power of God. Verse 18. When we find ourselves following what Jesus says and pushing aside the traditions of man, pushing aside the commandments of man, pushing aside the names of man, the authority of man, the world at large will probably say even today, as it did here in 1 Corinthians time, these folks are foolish. They're a cult. They don't really get with it. They've got a command system. No, no, no. We don't have a command system. That is the way that they use that. That you've got to just get down on bended knee all the time. You're saved today, lost tomorrow. When you sin, you lost tomorrow. If that were true, look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1. What was the problem with the church at Corinth identified there? Religious division among them. Yet what are they called in verses 1 and 2? Paul called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, and Sosthenes our brother unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints. With all that in every place call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, both theirs and ours. This congregation was not yet banished by God. They were not yet condemned of the Lord. This letter is being written to them for them to repent of the division that they have. In chapter 2, to repent of the weakness of their understanding. In chapter 5, repent of their fellowship with a brother who is living in incest and openly in the congregation. In chapter 7, in regard to their misuse of marriage. In chapter 9, in regard to their misuse of the law of God, and teaching the things that they did and making it the law of man. In chapter 12, in reference to their misunderstanding of spiritual gifts. In chapters 13 and 14, in reference to their use of those spiritual gifts, misuse of them. And in chapter 16, the idea that they should be faithful to the Lord and follow his righteous way. Did they, in fact, get the message? They did. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, notice verse number 9, and you'll see how the next letter that's written to them is saying the following about them.